Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. My name is Mudtoe. Welcome to my corner of the internet. This is the Midnight Garden. Please join me tonight here in between the chickpeas and the radishes while we talk of things great and small. Okay, I'm going to take 30 seconds here to complain about the airtime of this show, and then I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Please not today. I need to stop scheduling things for myself on Saturday mornings. I need to remember that I do a show at midnight on Friday, and it makes it very inconvenient for me to get up on Saturday morning and go do something. But tomorrow I'm going to go get my haircut. And then I have to go to work, which is going to be fun because I'm not exactly sure I'm going to make it. I'm halfway across the city. I got to make it to where my to where work is. So hopefully it will be. I don't think it'll be a problem unless I run into traffic. And then it would be a problem anyway. Even if I had not gone to get my hair cut, I still would have run into traffic. So again, one of these things I always give myself anxiety about. But then I have a 7-hour shift, and then I'm right in the car back to my folks' place for my father's birthday, which is on Sunday. So there's lots of when there's things compressed together. As I said, it's an anxiety-producing environment for me to have that going on. I'm really just kind of wish it was all over with, and I was at mom and dad's. And I have to remember, because before I have to leave, leave for my haircut. Before I do that, I got to remember to pack, because I'm not going to giving myself even more of a headache if I had to drive all the way back to my apartment to get my stuff. So it's all going to have to go. All is going to have to go into my car before I leave. So I have to remember all this stuff. And I've gone over my 30 seconds. I'm sorry, but I have to remember to eat something, because I find it very difficult to eat in the morning. So I often end up stuck someplace where I can't eat, like at work. Eat until a certain time anyway, and. When it hits me, when the need hits me, especially with the whole blood sugar thing. So I must remember to eat. This is for my self-care. I must remember to eat, and I must remember to pack, but always in a controlled manner, not a panicked manner. I've already done a lot of the packing in advance tonight, which is good. Give myself a big pat on the back for that. And tomorrow, I have decided that tomorrow is going to be a good day. I have decided that all of my fears about tomorrow are unfounded, and nothing, none of those bad things are going to happen. Now, I know there are possible bad things that are out of my control that could happen, but I'm going to make myself, not worry about those. What is the worst possible bad thing? I don't know if it's the worst possible thing I worry about the most. That is completely out of my control is airbags. I cannot stand the idea that there's an airbag in my car. it could pop at any moment. It's right there in my face, the airbag. And I could just be driving along, minding my own business, and that thing could pop for no reason and knock me in the face. And I don't like it. Sometimes there have been times I've had to pull over. It got me, got my hands shaking hard to breathe and all that stuff. I had to pull the car over, and I never had to pull over the side of the road. I always had to run over and pulled over to like a gas station or something so I could pretend to be pulling over so I could get a Mountain Dew or something. But really, I was pulling over because I had my irrational problem with the airbags. So that's what's going on there. The big we got the big street fair going on in my old hometown, which I'm not going to make it to because I had to work all three nights of it. Technically, I suppose I could. I'll probably get into town 8:30, something like that, tomorrow. So technically, I could go into town and walk up and down the streets and have an elephant ear and beer. I don't think they have that. They've been trying to get beer on the street. They still don't have beer on the street. You still have to go to the beer garden to get your beer. And, of course, I don't have any business drinking beer anyway, right? So, I don't know if I'm going to go. I just need the attraction of just walking up and down. There isn't much attraction just walking up and down the streets by myself. Because I'll have to go have somebody drop me off. My mother will probably have to drop me off. I get out and I'll drive. I'll walk to the end of the festival and back, and then I go home because there isn't anything really anything there for me. So I know there are a number of my high school classmates whom I missed at the reunion a couple weeks ago, but that's not really pulling me to the place either. So looks like I'm just go home and go to bed and think about doing it maybe next year. I don't know. Just again, this is such a big deal. I remember when I was a kid, and now it just has no attraction for me at all. What the heck? I don't know. I don't understand. But anyway, that's the way of things, I guess. I've been promising Shaman Tarot for a couple of weeks, and I actually did pull a card tonight. So let's talk about that. I gotta unstack everything. And I am actually at my desk, so it's a little bit easier than it would be if I tried to do this at the pizza place. But the card I pulled, well, first of all, let me just remind everybody that Shaman Tarot is a more or less a standard tarot deck. It's got four suits with 13 cards each. This comes from the fact that the playing cards and the divination cards, the tarot cards, have the same origin. They split off at one point in history. So you have the four suits with 13 cards each, and then but in tarot you have an extra suit called the Major Arcana or Arcana. I think it's Arcana. I've never actually heard it pronounced. But the Major Arcana, which is 22 additional cards that do some sort of different thing, I guess. I haven't. I need to read. I need to read more. If I'm going to do this tarot thing, I really need to know more about it. But until that happens, I'm just going to I'm going to pick a card and read. I've made up my own tarot layout, but I didn't really take the time to do anything with that tonight. I'll do that another time. I've done it on the show before. Getting to where it was taking like two or three episodes to get through the whole thing. We've got tonight. We've got the Four of Bones, and there's a lady on the front, youngish-looking lady dressed in a youngish-looking way. Except the colors are kind of odd. She has a yellow jacket, and the rest of it's all red. And there's red butterflies all over the place. And she's a city setting, and there's she's seeing this happening in an alley. And there's people, you can see people in the background kind of walking away, oblivious to what is going on. Now, the suit of bones, let me see if this here, is the element of fire. I got to get this to where I can read it. Corresponds to wands in the traditional tarot. The suit embodies the experience of combat, where the shaman confronts himself, spirits working against him, or other shamans in order to obtain the necessary power and wisdom. And I had never seen, I never really pictured shamans like that. What type of, this is a dude, Master Midiano Filadoro, and he's made, dozens of tarot decks. And I think he takes the idea of shamanism and kind of conflates it, kind of slaps it on top of the idea of tarot, and some kind of strange things come out of it. The idea of shaman at war. I mean, he's often described as a warrior, but as a spiritual warrior, not as someone who's actually out there fighting for wisdom or something like that. But I suppose you could get that. And this whole thing is about images and ideas anyway. So here, number four is comprehension. A long preparation is not necessary. Illumination is sudden. Concentration of strengths, a safe place. So I'm looking at this, and I guess maybe this, it's hard to kind of divine this from the expression on the scroll's face. But this, I guess this alley is a safe place where all of her butterflies are. And there aren't any butterflies outside of the alley. And there's some stuff growing, like plants and things like what they call that. It kind of reminds me of the Lorax. They're like pink silk things that were growing out of the ground on the Lorax that he was trying to save, and everybody else wanted to cut and turn into Thmeeds, Nita Thmeed. And so maybe that's she's her Thmeed in here, as she saved her Lorax silk or whatever that is. So I guess this is supposed to represent her safe place. and outside of the hustle bustle. Okay. Now we can, as you heard, the bones are they read onto the wands of the traditional tarot. So looking at the Four of Wands, four is the number of completion. Oh, before I do that, I got this book is Introduction to Tarot by Susan Levitt. Is where I'm getting this stuff about the traditional tarot. Four is the number of completion and foundation. Four of Wands represents a completed project or an accomplished goal. The Rider-Waite deck shows two happy people celebrating in front of a castle. The garland of fruits and flowers overhead indicates abundance and harvest. In the background are joyous revelers. On the Crowley-Thoth or Thoth deck is the word completion, with the astrological attribute of Venus in Aries. Venus is the goddess of love, so passion with gentleness is required to temper the strong energy of fire and bring affairs to summation. Because these two cards have different meanings, which two cards? Oh, okay, start about the two different tarot decks, different types of tarot decks. Because the cards have two different meanings, use the meaning for the deck you are using at the time of your reading. Okay, well, that makes sense. With the Rider-Waite deck, observe the celebratory and bountiful energy depicted on the card. With the Crowley-Thoth or Thoth deck, observe the cycle of completion. Okay, and here the divination meaning for Rider-Waite, success and prosperity is indicated. Now is the time to finish projects and then celebrate. Complete activities and tie up loose ends. And the Crowley-Thoth meaning is this card may also mean the end of a romance. Boy, now that doesn't that come out of left field. But anyway, that's a lot of stuff. What I wanted to kind of tie that to is earlier this week, I had been, well, actually it was before that, it was my last therapy appointment. And I haven't written anything in some time. Just haven't been able to find the inspiration to do it. And I was telling this to my therapist, and he made it my assignment for the next week was to write something. So I did, and of course, in true form, I waited until the very last moment started. That's like the night before. And also, I cheated slightly in that I started with something I had already written. And I took the first three paragraphs of something that I had already written, and then I took it in a different direction. So it hit something. I didn't tell my therapist that I had done that. But still, it's completion of an assignment, completion of a project, and it felt pretty good. So there's always different ways to look at these cards, and they're supposed to be in a spread anyway, and you have other cards, the ones next to them and across from them and whatever, that to give context, at least that's my understanding. But I hadn't really completed anything in a long time, and it felt good to complete something. It makes me, I'd like to complete something again, which means more stories until I have enough to reasonably be called a book, which is a thing people have been bugging me about for a long time, to do a book and get it finished. And I had very nearly given up on it. I'd started to believe that maybe I couldn't write anymore, that maybe my writing machine had conked out for once and forever. And it was cool to see it happen, to see him appreciate it. Now, of course, he's my therapist. He kind of would have to appreciate it. He isn't going to tell me that it's terrible. Probably not anyway. What I enjoyed most about writing is the appreciation of others, of other people looking at it and say, that's not bad. Maybe write another one. So that, I think that becomes my project. I mean, I completed that sort of mini project or sub project, but the larger project is putting together enough of these stories that it's a book, and then I can make this book, take it to one of these many and various internet places that do these things. My brother did one that way. He did one, I'm trying to think of it. Well, I shouldn't say the name of the place on the internet anyway, so I won't try to think of it. But it's one of these where you can order a small number of books. You don't have to be, you don't have to have thousands of them like you would at a big publishing house. And you also don't have, you know, sort of the interference of editors. You can get editors if you want. And you can sort of order that. That's a service that you can obtain is the editor. I don't know. I'm not strong enough to have someone tell me what's wrong with my work. And it's not, I say this, I mean, it would certainly be fun to have a thing, you know, break into the mainstream somehow, and then suddenly I'm a writer and I'm not living in this apartment anymore and all that thing. That's, I mean, that's far-fetched, but it's possibility completely zero if I never finish writing the book, which is, I think that's what's been operating is if I don't ever finish the book, I never have to know that it wouldn't have succeeded. Okay. I don't have to have that experience of having that same 40 copies of the book in my closet forever. I don't know. Now that I think about it, I've never seen a copy of my brother's book. So maybe it doesn't. Maybe he didn't have to have a bunch of them. I think the operation is someone orders one from off the internet and it's printed for them. So that'd be better than having, I think, the books just always there. There's something. Gee, I think he had a deal once. There's a book. That was an Aborigine chief from Australia, I believe, had written, and Iggy and his family were sort of the focal point of this thing, and they just ended up with boxes and boxes of these books. It's not funny, but I took mine. You know, I bought mine, and I think I bought it. Pretty sure about it, but you know, all the various friends, the people who were going to the restaurant at that time, I think they all got there. But it's one of those things, you know. I think you make a bet on something that the people, the shamanic community in America is going to enjoy this story as much as they did in Australia, and it didn't evidently didn't happen that way. So that's fine, but I do sometimes wonder where all those books ended up. And I thought about that. I mean, am I going to have a closet full of my books from having over-ordered them? Now, on the other hand, I also know, my friend David Tucros, who's written a couple of books, maybe three now. He was working on another one the last time I talked to him. And he had the books. He had the actual physical books at places where he was speaking. And you'd buy them from him there. So this is a different process. So I'd have to think about what process I'm going to go. But see, I can't. No, don't think about that yet. You have to finish the book first. That's the thing I think about. You know, I make tables of contents, and I estimate the number of pages I want. And you know, do I want a light story here, a darker story here? And actually, I don't have that many light stories. I might have one, but I think I keep thinking of all these things as a seed because if I'm thinking about these things, I don't have to actually write. You know, I can all kinds of things to stay away from writing, and I kind of wish maybe this is, you know, is appropriate to do a layout, or you know, if I could find one of my tarot friends, because I do have a tiny bit of money in my bank account now. If I find somebody who'd do it, if you find somebody out there. Can do a reading for me and do it on this topic, on completion in general and completion of this particular endeavor, and what that means to what it is I'm trying to do right now. What else? I made a decision, a tentative decision, as all of my decisions are. regarding my my smartphone conundrum. And I think what's going to happen is I'm just going to give up the smartphone because it's not something that enhances my life, and it costs me a lot of money and a lot of aggravation. Now, I can't, unfortunately, because I can't give it up right away because it's going to cost me money to do so. So this is going to, I think I hang with the smartphone probably until March or April, and then I just go back to my track phone. It's giving me my, I buy the cards for it and the minutes and make the bare minimum of phone calls that I can possibly make. And then I take the money that I save from that and I put internet back in my apartment because, I mean, that's really what, that was really the idea of a smartphone in the first place was so I could get rid of internet in my apartment and just use the smartphone for the things that I needed internet for. And it hasn't worked out all that well. And I get, you know, email was the big one, and I do have email. But other things, other functions that I use on the internet, I missed the full functionality of the web versions. So I think that's what's going to happen. But again, as I say, not right away, because I don't have that special fund, running around getting tarot readings done. I don't have the money to pay off a lease on my smartphone. And I have to get rid of this smartphone, and it's one of those smartphones that nobody wants. It's an older model, and it's also locked, so you can only use it with Sprint. So it's not a desirable piece of hardware. It's probably going to be mostly desirable to someone. I mean, you're probably going to end up going to one of those machines where they buy smartphones from you, and then they cannibalize them. You know, they take the chips and make them into those little toy dogs that bark and then do somersaults. I think that's where most old cell phone parts end up. But the plan that's in place so that I'm not driving myself crazy with it all the time. Well, which way am I going to do it? Well, the other half of that is the free government phone. I'm just going to leave that alone and let it lapse. After 1 year, they come back and want you to requalify. I'm just going to leave it. And my thought is, I think, and this is a very small, probably a very slight possibility, is I wonder what these people who are using my phone, what if they do something crazy and that phone has my name on it? Well, I do have records of 5 months worth of phone calls and emails to the company telling them that someone stole my phone and this is not me using it. I think I can hopefully relapse onto those. And if not, then it's probably going to be government problems and there isn't a whole lot of history about it anyway. Put me in a cage or something. But anyway, So why not? I'm stuck with the smartphone for probably seven or eight more months. And then I'll go back to having, see what Spectrum Internet has to offer me. I shouldn't be using companies' names on the show, I realize that. But I'm not a huge fan of Spectrum. Although, to be totally fair, they haven't given me that much of a reason to not be. They haven't really done anything to me. When I left, it was still Time Warner. I guess it's their commercials that annoy me. And it's just the sort of saturation of the airwaves. It's like, do it. You got to have Spectrum. It reminds me of, what was the magazine? I don't know if it was Cracked magazine. It was one of those. It wasn't Mad magazine. It was one of the others. And they did a thing about marketing, and it's like they were promoting this horrible soft drink called Turkey Cola. And through sort of saturation advertising, they made everybody love Turkey Cola, even though it sucked. And the people are like, oh, I can't take it. I got to have a turkey cola. And through the whole thing, they were showing their advertising slogans and like in the background as they were doing other things. And I remember one of the slogans was, drinking turkey cola is like drinking the sun. And that this stuck with me all through the years as, gosh, that's silly. And now I hear something, at least that's silly, if not more so, probably a dozen times every day that I'm doing some serious television watching, which hasn't been a whole lot much. I don't do serious television watching unless I'm at mom and dad's. That's something that might change. I mean, I have enough money when this big switch happens. If I'm still working my present job or a better job, you know, do I go back to having some cable television here? Get back my ESPN. And if I don't, I mean, gosh, if I don't like Spectrum, how can I like ESPN? It's kind of the same operation going on there. I went in when I had dinner tonight. There was the TVs are showing the Little League World Series. And I don't like watching it because ESPN doesn't give those kids anything, and they really couldn't anyway because it would screw up their college eligibility. I'm like, come on, guys, give the kids some money, a scholarship, and NCAA let them use it. You know what the hell is the problem? These kids are playing you somehow. I don't get it. You know that some sort of advantage is being curried, or that I don't think curried is the word I was looking for. But I don't get it. I don't get it why I can't, you know, like a 12-year-old kid, and the network is making millions of dollars off of them, and they can't get anything for that. Doesn't make a bit of sense to me, as Jack Nicholson said in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Look around. Doesn't make a bit of sense to me. Nothing, ever, anywhere. Doesn't make a bit of sense to me. But, you know, I go back and I keep selling my shoes. I was last week, I was a number 3 salesperson. I'm like, how did that happen? Because I'm really not trying that hard. I focus on maintenance of the store space, you know, cleaning things up, picking up shoes that people have left on the floor, and that sort of thing. And you know, I go and do the sales thing when it's needed, when they have a lot of, you know, when there's a lot of people in the store, and they need the extra help. Then I look at the list. I just can't help myself but you know, take a look at the list. You know, they keep track of how much you're ringing, and number 3 in the store. Like, how did this happen? And I could be number 2 this week because one of the girls who was in front of me went back to college, so she's not here. So that sort of clears the road for me to move up a rung. And I don't know if I even want that pressure. I don't. But anyway, you probably heard the 90-second warning. Glad you came here and joined me. I got to go to sleep because I got to get up early and get my hair cut. Maybe something a little bit more extensive on the Shaman Tarot next week. Who knows? But again, thanks for joining me and have a pleasant good evening.